midway in our life's journey. I went astray from the straight road and woke to find myself alone in a dark wood. How shall I say what that wood was? I never saw so drear, so rank, so arduous a wilderness. Its very memory gives a shape to fear. Death could scarce be more bitter than that place. But since it came to good, I will recount all that I found revealed there by God's grace. So begins the most famous of all epic poems, The Divine Comedy by Dante Alighieri. How many people can say that at the midpoint of life they find themselves disorientated and in a dark wood? We often refer to this as a midlife crisis. Such a time in a person's life can be characterized as this drear, rank, and arduous wilderness. Such times in our lives can have about them, as Dante says, the taste of bitterness. If, however, we make room in that place for God, it can also become an encounter with meaningful and amazing grace. That such a crisis is common to our human experience is brought into focus on this Good Friday. For here is the greatest crisis that the world has ever witnessed. Here is the dreariest of dark woods, the place where the bitter vinegar was offered to the Lord on that wood from which the greatest good has ever come. It is here that Dante's words find their fullest expression. Death could scarce be more bitter than that place, but since it came to good, I will recount all that I found revealed there by God's grace. Golgotha, the place of the skull, is the darkest wood of all. It's the place where the crisis of the cross speaks into every human life. For those who allow the cross to confront them with its full impact, the crisis of the cross becomes the place that changes them for the good. The etymology of the word crisis means a judgment resulting from trial. It can also mean to sift, to distinguish, and to separate. At Calvary, the crisis of the cross is the place of greatest sifting. For there at the cross, at the crossroads of history, are three crosses that bring into the focus the crisis at the heart of every human life. Each of us is asked, how will you respond to the reality of the cross? And there are only two responses represented by those crosses on either side of Jesus. On the Lord's left, we see the response of the cross of rebellion. To his right is the response of the cross of repentance. Rebellion and repentance are the only two possible reactions to the cross that is at the center, the cross of redemption. And not only do the two thieves represent those two responses, the response of the rebel and the response of the one who is penitent, we also see this amongst the 12 apostles, these two responses. Judas Iscariot rebels before the reality of the cross. Simon Peter repents before the reality of the cross. Rebellion against Jesus is depicted by the thief on the left. His disdain and reviling of Jesus are such that with him we witness a soul that has become so bitter, has become so hardened that it is completely closed to goodness and grace. The crisis of the cross entrenches this one in his rebellion. We also see this with Judas Iscariot. who, finding Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, brings with him a military cohort, get this, of at least 200 soldiers. 200 soldiers to arrest the Prince of Peace. Think of Judas's dark wood through which he walked on that first Holy Thursday. It left him so disturbed, it left him so disorientated that he wasn't actually bent on Jesus's destruction. He was ultimately bent on his own. For we know that on the morning of Good Friday, he ended his life by hanging himself. He concluded his rebellion was so great that there was no forgiveness possible, and so he cut himself off from grace. Here is the thing we discover about those who rebel against Jesus. While they may think that their response to his cross will free them, it results in their bondage, and if not repented of, can result in their eternal damnation. Dante's Divine Comedy is divided into three parts. The first part, you see Dante going through hell. And as he gets to the lowest level of hell, there is Judas Iscariot. Dante does not depict hell's lowest level as a lake of fire. Rather, he depicts it as a frozen lake from which Satan protrudes, his torso flaying to the right and to the left. But he is forever stuck in that static state. And Satan has three mouths. And in his middle mouth, he is continuously eating Judas Iscariot, but never consuming him. How true this is. Rebellion against Jesus brings people to that place where their soul is eaten away and life becomes unbearable. It becomes like a frozen wasteland. How different the experience for the one who is on the cross of repentance. Here we see the other thief who appeals to Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, because he recognizes now that that title that is above Jesus, the King of the Jews, is true. And not only is he the King of the Jews, but he is the King of all who take to heart the words our Lord spoke to Pilate when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." All of those who come to this realization are like St. Peter. He also had to journey through that dark wood on Holy Thursday. For that night was the one of deepest anguish in Peter's life, as he wept deeply after Jesus looked him squarely in the eyes, and as Peter had said for the third time, "I swear to you, I do not know the man." That look of Jesus, the cock crowing, did something in Peter's soul that brought him face to face with his own sinful humanity. How like us, how like Peter, are we frail human beings. When we see ever more clearly the state of our interior life that so often waxes and wanes in our commitment to Christ Jesus, we indeed can feel what Dante did in that dark wood. Death could scarce be more bitter than that place. But since it came to good, I will recount all that I found revealed there by God's grace. In the Divine Comedy, Dante moves from hell to purgatory, where he sees people journeying up a seven-story mountain. And on each of these levels, he encounters people who are being delivered from one of the seven deadly sins of pride, envy, anger, sloth, gluttony, avarice, and lust. And here's the beautiful thing. As they journey up the seven-story mountain, they come to purgatory's summit. And what do they discover there? The Garden of Eden, the entrance into paradise. The way of repentance is an ongoing experience in this life that will only be completed in the purgatorial state after death. But once Mount Purgatory has been summited, then we will come to know the full effects of that third cross, the cross of redemption. In this life, we do not know completely the redeeming work of Christ. But listen, friends, to what happens to Dante as he finds himself in Eden. There are two rivers there, one called Lethe, and the second called Eunoe. Lethe means forgetfulness. As Dante drinks deeply from its waters, he forgets every sin he had ever committed. And then, as he drinks from Eunoe, which means good mind, he remembers, he can recall every good he did in this world. There's a maiden named Matilda who administers the waters of Lethe and Eunoe, so that every person that reaches the Garden of Eden at the top of Mount Purgatory is first washed in Lethe so that they can forget the memories of their mortal sins. And as they pass through Eunoe's waters, they remember their good deeds and their life is strengthened. And Dante says it's only after he had drunk from both of these rivers that he then began the journey up the 9 levels of paradise, where at that 9th level, he was enveloped in the love and life of the Blessed Trinity. By the way, Dante is the narrator and the protagonist of his poem. The dark wood was not just a literary device, but was autobiographical. His own dark wood was his suicidal preoccupation. He had decided to end his life. But thankfully, he left the cross of rebellion and turned to the cross of repentance. And from that cross of repentance, from the years 1308 until the year 1320, a year before he died, Dante Alighieri so clearly identified with the cross of repentance that he wrote this amazing poem that points to the cross of redemption. In this world, these 3 crosses are the true dark wood. The cross of rebellion leads further into the wood's darkness, resulting in meaninglessness and eternal despair. This is not what Jesus wants for anyone. He wants all to find their place on the cross of repentance, for it is from that cross we can find our way out of the wood and journey towards the redemption that Jesus won for us on the cross, that is the most precious wood of all.